Amen. As you're being seated, we're going to have all the kids go to jam. And I think teacher Linda is doing jam, so just head right out. Again, if you're visiting, you have elementary age kids. Let them go out with all of those guys that are leaving right now. You can turn the house lights on for me if you would, Steve. Thank you for that. We set up a lot of things before we got to this week in terms of, you know, how things were going to go. And it's been the habit of Southland Christian Church for many, many years just to have communion every week. And we haven't necessarily changed that for good. It's just we've been doing this Why series and have been wanting to have emphasis and a respiratory feel to the things that we do in the house of the Lord so that we don't just do them out of the routines that we can kind of fall into, right? You know, and so sometimes, you know, a way that can help is do it less frequently, but, you know, anything can become a habit. So we set up a lot of things before we got to this week, and I talked to Dave Mize, who's an elder here, a couple of weeks ago about running a communion service, and he really has been, and I'm thankful for this, carrying the heavy end of the communication about what communion is. He set up the last service, and many of you participated in that. I said, I realize that you'll be gone on vacation. I said, but I really feel like it will work out pretty well. And he did something very kind for me, very nice for me. He laid out, a couple, three pages of some good notes and out of John chapter 6, where Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. We'll use a verse from that today. But I just want to just say that all week long, I had Lester. So Lester was going to, he was going to be my other half of my brain. And I sent it to him, and then he called me. And I just got to tell you, man, it just wasn't working, right? And I talked to, and it was like, it's just, I can't break this out. And then my good wife, who helps me in more ways than you will ever know, she went to go get us some fast food, because we were packing and very busy. And she just texts me a message, and she says, Jeff, she said, always, just do what's on your heart. That's when it's the best, And I know that, but I forget it, and I need somebody to help me remember that from time to time. And in view of everything that's been happening this last week, once I let go of Dave's, thing, which he gave me, and I'm sure that'll get used later in a beautiful way. Once I let go of that, and just began to write things down, which is how I process. I write things down, or I talk it out. I began to feel what was really on the Lord's heart for us to do. Everything's just going crazy, right? I don't want to be the people who go nuts. Let's all run around with our pulling our hair out. But things are like totally going crazy. And the thing that was on my heart was that the world is like coming apart. And when I think about communion with respect to the witness and the testimony of the Church of Jesus Christ, it's all about a community coming together. That's what it's about. When the whole world is like going, the Church of Christ reminds us that at the communion table, we are a people that come together. And it's a trip because, the church looks different anywhere you go. If you go to church in Compton today, it's in Compton. We have a lot of Latinos in Compton, definitely more so than 30 years ago. But we still also have a lot of African-American churches. And then here in Bellis, this is 90201, right? But this is also 90260, 90, Susie knows all the zip codes, 90255. This is all Huntington Park and Maywood and Bell and Bell Gardens and... But then we've got people that are Southgate, 90280, and, that's up. So this is what we look like. Somebody once said that the church is the most segregated place in America, and that shouldn't be. But if we take a look at the universal Church of Jesus Christ, which he sees, those are the people that are the genuinely saved Christians, you will see every tribe, every nation, every people, all languages. That's what the Church of Jesus Christ is. So once I kind of let go of that other stuff, then I begin to think about, you know, what we are doing here with respect to communion and how we communicate with Christ and what Christ was saying in the context of communion. It's a very powerful dynamic that we share as a church. We're a very, very powerful testimony right now with everything that's going crazy. We're a powerful testimony about redemption. We're a powerful testimony about reconciliation. We're a powerful testimony about grace. We're a very powerful testimony about unity. I went to school at Nimitz Junior High. There was a time when all the white people gathered on one side of the quad and all the brown people gathered on the other side of the quad. And I was part of that thing. And everybody else was part of that thing. And everybody had a voice to say. And as I thought about that, you know, I thought, it's so crazy and so wonderful and so redemptive that when your heart gets changed and when you come to Jesus Christ and when you get genuinely saved, all of that stupid stuff falls off. It all falls off. I believe that God made the world filled with all kinds of people and that there's a beauty in that. God put the melanin in your skin to make you the color you are and the color that I am. God made us all. And he did that with perfect purpose because we all know that when you sing a song or you listen to your favorite songs, if it's just a monochrome or a mono note, then it's not a very interesting song. But when you bring a harmony to it, it's a beautiful thing. And that's what we need to have. And so, as Hector, I think, led out today with, you know, that great verse. I'll have him share it later. Not yet, Hector, but it was from John chapter 17. It happened, that verse where Jesus says, I pray that they may all be one as we are all one, you and me, the Father, that they may be one, that the world may know that you sent me. There's a power in the testimony of unity. And that's what the Church of Jesus Christ is all about. Amen. So that's kind of what's on my heart. I have more things to share, you know, things that are instructive. We got some guys that'll share some things, but that's what I want to say. I mean, that's the key of everything that we have today. If we walk out of here just knowing this today, in a world that is coming apart, we're Christians, and we bear witness to a community that comes together around the bread, which represents the redemption and the breaking of his body so that we could become unified and redeemed. Amen. I saw a photograph the other day, and it was of a door that had a lot of deadbolts and locks on the inside of the door. And then scratched very crudely and kind of scarily were these words that said, the world is not a safe place anymore. Do you feel that? You want to get behind the door and put all the deadbolts on, you know? And you just and put the sign says it's not safe to go out there anymore. And I want to say this: the world has never been safe. Hector just took us through the 60s today. High five. Judy, come on. We were there, yeah? Judy knows what's up. Judy was back in the day when about protests. She knows what it was to do it in a peaceful way. She knew what it was to fight for injustice. You should hear her story one day. She knew some good people. She's always quiet and sits here, but she knew people like Cesar Chavez. But we see that the world has always needed justice. The world has always needed to have redemption. The world has always been in need of fighting against racism. The world has always been a dangerous place. But it's been dangerous ever since the fall. You know, do you know what we all know the first sin of the garden is, right? Eaten from the tree. We all know that? Do you remember what the second sin was? Sure you do. First thing the devil did was he began to pit one man against another. Am I right? Do you know your Bible? Cain and Abel. The enemy, because even God said to the bad brother, said, because the devil is crouching at your door. He desires to have you, but you must master him. That tells us that envy, that jealousy, that hatred, that enmity that Cain was carrying found its expression in murder of his brother, and it was provoked by the enemy, the devil. Because God said, the devil's crouching at your door. You better get a handle on how you're thinking. You better get a handle on how you're acting. You better get a handle on what's on your heart. Because whatever you feel in your heart, sooner or later, is going to find a manifestation in a physical action. That's why Jesus said, if you got hatred in your heart, you've committed murder against your brother already. Am I getting some amens? So we think it's not, it doesn't happen here in the murder, it happens here in the heart. And so we see the devil from the very beginning began to pit one man against another man. And he's been doing it ever since. And he's been doing it in the culture around us today. You can't be grieved or not be grieved unless you're a real hard heart to look at any of the videos that we've seen and not be moved in your heart. You can't be. If you're running to defend it, or you need to park your brain from Minnesota to Baton Rouge to Dallas. But it's not just in the U.S. There's a spirit happening globally. Paris, Istanbul, the Middle East, disunity in Europe. The verse that came to my mind was from Revelation chapter 12 and 12 that says this, "Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them, but woe to you, earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath because he knows that his time is short." That's what's happening. The time is short. There's an old hymn, you know, there's a line in that hymn that says this, "More stern will grow the conflict with each passing day." You know, the disciples, they were showing off the temple to Jesus. They're like, this is pretty magnificent. It's awesome. It took 3 years to build. A lot of resources went into this. Jesus is like, well, I know all about it. This is the third temple. I've seen it before. He goes, yes, awesome. He goes, this is all going to come down. And they said to him, what's the sign of your coming? And you know what Jesus said? You'll all know this, but I want you to think about it in the context of what's happening in the world today. Jesus said this to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom will rise against kingdom." And the Greek word for nation is ethnos. Ethnic. One ethnic group will rise up against another ethnic group. Then he said, kingdom will rise up against kingdom. The word for that, we all understand kingdoms. That has to do with countries. Absolutely. But also that word refers to a word called realm. So here's what's happening. Jesus is saying racial groups will get up against other racial groups. He's saying one realm or one group of people are going to cast themselves up against another group of people. And that's exactly what we see around us. It's happening, and it has us all on edge. You know, we're all prickly. We're all tense. Or is it just me? Do you feel it? Does it grieve you? Does it concern you? This is why the Church of Jesus Christ has something very powerful to say to the world. And it happens at a communion table, because it's at a communion table where redemption happens, where reconciliation happens, where unity, I mean genuine unity happens. Why? Because it's a change of heart that makes that happen. But the enemy's been working insidiously, man, just to kind of like pit one group and the people that have the truth against the people that don't have the truth. You know what I'm saying? Now, I've done a very dangerous thing this morning. I've planted 12 bombs in the church in this way. They're word bombs. All right? And different people are carrying those bombs. These word bombs will evoke a feeling in you. antipathy. They will make you feel tense. Some of the words you might want to stand up and defend some of the words. Some of the words will make you want to stand up and fight against them. Some of these words will make you want to argue about them. We're going to set these bombs off in a safe environment. Amen? I want to say that the people that read these words have no affiliation to the words that they are reading. They chose them randomly from a deck of cards in my hand. And we're going to set those bombs off in a safe place for the purpose of doing something, to illustrate a very important point. And that point is that we can't go down the road of what the world is doing right now and act in the same spirit that the world is acting. The Church of Jesus Christ is set apart from the world. Amen? All right, bombs. Now remember, don't say them all at the same time. You know, but you're going to just say it when you got a break. You stand up and say it. You ready? 3, 2, 1. Good and loud. Who? What did you just say? You said white privilege? And we had ISIL. We have ISIS. I think that's enough bombs. You know, there are good discussions to have about all those things. But what the enemy has done is the enemy has incited a culture based upon these words and these topics for the purpose of pulling one realm of people against another realm of people, against another realm of people, against another kingdom, and so on. A friend of mine told me this story, and he said this. He said, many years ago, I had a small prop business, and it wasn't props for planes, it was movie props. He said, I ran it out of my garage. It was a sweet setup, fully functioning, everything from a mold lab, an electronics lab, a miniature machine shop. I could build anything as long as it was small, and I really enjoyed the work. The fact of the story that's crucial to the story is that I enjoyed what I was doing. So because I worked by myself, I started leaving the television on for background noise. I just let it run on the daytime television. So after a few months, I started noticing that I would go upstairs after work and I was uptight, which never happens to me. I am not by nature an uptight person. I couldn't figure out what it was until it hit me. Daytime TV was nothing but a bunch of people yelling at each other for hours and hours on end. Maury Povich, Judge Judy, all the other judge shows, just endless hours of people arguing and yelling at each other. And it was physically affecting me, subliminally. So I threw the TV out of my workshop, and it disappeared overnight. That's a true story. What do we, you know, and you know what's changed since the time that happened to my friend? Now we have Twitter. Now we have Facebook. Now we have 24-hour news programs on television. We have opinions and rantings and ravings about this and about that. About here's the truth. No, here's the truth. No, here's what's wrong. No, that's what's wrong. And you know what? It's pitting us all against one another. It's pitting the world against one another. It's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time, as we've just seen this last week, before it all manifests itself in some kind of a conflict. And it's a matter of time until it happens. The end result is a cataclysmic conflict, which is some of what we've seen. But, you know, history tells us that it can get worse. The enemy is laughing. The enemy is inciting it. The enemy is fueling the fire that's right next to the powder keg. Am I preaching the truth here today? We are Christians. And Christians are people who are about redemption, reconciliation, unity, and truth. The problem with Christians is that we become like the world and we become duped into forgetting that redemption is what it's all about. We have to fight this battle. All these horrible things that happen in the world, there does need to be redress to so many of the topics that came up. I'm not saying put our heads in the sand on all of those things. What I am saying is that we have a primary mission to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ for the hope of conversion, which means changed hearts. Because when you get somebody that has a changed heart, hatred drops off. Racism drops off. Injustice gets made right. That's a spiritual thing. You can't get that physically. It happens spiritually. Now, there are physical things that you can do, absolutely, but they must happen with the right spirit, and it has to happen with the spirit of Christ and not the spirit of the world. How many know that we're preaching not to somebody else today? I'm preaching to you. I'm preaching to me. We need to hear this. Amen? Because the problem that we have, if we're going to be Christians that have an edge and have an influence in this world, is that we cannot settle down here. Our home is up in heaven. So we can't be like the world that's trying to humanly solve, politically legislate, socially change through human effort. These are deep spiritual problems. Are you a note taker? I'll give you one note to take today. Take this with you today. Our world is broken because we are all alienated from the God who made us. That's the reason right there. And redemption is the answer. And that's what communion celebrates. The world is broken because the world is alienated from God who made the people in this world. And redemption is the answer. Do you know there's a case in the Bible where a guy pulled a weapon on a cop? And it's found in the Garden of Gethsemane. The temple guard came, and these were men that were the policemen of the temple. And they came with the Jewish leaders, and they came to arrest Jesus Christ. And Peter took out a sword, and he cut off the guy's ear. If it had been a gun, he'd have shot his ear off. In this case, he cut his ear off. Peter thought that he was doing the right thing. And that's where we Christians need to get really sharp and keen on this right here. You can think by the things that you say, as Christians even, that are informed with truth, that you're being wise and that you're being sharp and you're doing the right thing by pulling your sword. And you may be well-intentioned, but a well-intentioned dragon is still a dragon. And oh my gosh, thank the Lord that Jesus immediately acted. And what did he immediately do? He said, Peter, put it back in the holster. If you live by that, you will die by it. But then Jesus did something that turned that situation around and probably saved Peter's life, his physical life. He took the man's ear and put it back on his head. He acted in a spirit that the Christians have forgotten. He acted in a spirit of love. He acted in a spirit of zeal for a man's soul. He acted in a spirit of reconciliation. And his voice and his action backed that up when he put that ear back on that man's head. Because he cared more about making that man a friend for the kingdom than he did for cutting out the bad guys so that the kingdom could advance. The problem with Peter is the problem that we Christians have today is that we're trying to fight a spiritual battle on a in a physical way, on a physical realm. And Jesus took it and reminded that man, Peter, put it away. We're advancing the kingdom through spiritual means, not through physical means. And I'll show you how it works. We're going to love this man right here. and we're going to pray for our enemies. It was in that spirit that so much advance was made in the 60s, because it was under that spirit that Martin Luther King advanced the cause. He advanced that cause through peaceful redress and acting nonviolently in a violent atmosphere. Boy, Martin Luther King was a genius. No, yes, meh. Martin Luther King read his Bible. I'm kind of a big fan of my favorite president. Who's my favorite president? Abraham Lincoln. And I like to read anything I can when I have time to. Martin Luther King quoted Abraham Lincoln at a story that happened with him when he said a good word during the Civil War about a certain particular group of people that were from the South. And this lady reprimanded Abraham Lincoln and said, "How can you say that about our enemy?" And as this was quoted by Martin Luther King, because he adds something to what Abraham Lincoln said, he said, "Do I not destroy my enemies when I make them my friends?" Abraham Lincoln was a very wise man. Do you have an enemy? You know how to destroy him? Destroy the enmity between you. That's what Jesus did in the garden with that man. He made a friend of him. Do you know how much good can happen when we operate in a Christian spirit rather than in a Peter spirit? It doesn't mean that we ignore the issues that are happening around us. Quite the contrary. Christianity has been and will always be the only true cure for what's wrong with the human race. To do away with racism, to truly correct injustice, and to heal all manner of cultural ills that we see around us today. All of those things happen from a redeemed heart. Jesus made a friend of an enemy and probably saved fast-swinging Peter's life. Don't be incendiary, Christians. Don't be little bombs. You know, I got to do is just take a look at the threads and comments on what people say, man. Measure what you say. Think about what you say. Don't make Jesus look stupid. Don't earn a rebuke from Christ that would say, stop it. Make a friend. If you speak the truth, when you speak the truth, make sure that you speak the truth in love. But I would say this to us, and we all need to remember this. As the Church of Jesus Christ, we need to major on the majors and minor on the minors. And what's happened with a lot of Christians today is we're taking minors. They're legitimate issues, very legitimate, but they're minor compared to the major. The major is this: redemption and salvation, seeing people get saved. And that's what the communion table is all about. Jesus was always trying to get people to not think physically, not trying to get them to think not the here, not the now, trying to get them to think about not all these things that are the minors. He can help handle all those things, but he's trying to always point them to the purpose that he came, which was redemption. Now, here's what we're going to do as we head for the communion table. I'm going to ask some of these guys just to read these verses. George, I think you're on cordless. Yeah, we should have the cordless on, Ethan, for George here. You got your line on your microphone, George.
Okay, Jesus answered them, "Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." John 6:26-27.
You can take that to Wilson, and while you're passing that to him, I want to say, when Jesus said, "Do not work for food that perishes, but work for the food that endures to eternal life," that's what the Son of Man will give you. He had just fed 5,000 people with wonderful bread, literal bread. They were hungry. They'd been without food for 3 days. He fed them. You know what the people wanted to do? They wanted to make him a king. Because after all, who wouldn't make a great president who doesn't give you free stuff? Who wouldn't make a great king? It's not free stuff, free bread, free bread. They're thinking bread, man. They're thinking like, how can I eat for today? How can I eat for today? But here's the problem. They were thinking temporally. Jesus was thinking eternally. They were thinking physically. Jesus was thinking spiritually. They were thinking about now. He was thinking about heaven and eternity. He sidestepped that whole deal. He would not play the politic game. He let his guys get in a boat and go across the lake. He ditched the people that would try to force him into politics. And when they weren't looking, he went out on the water and joined the guys in the boat in the middle of the night and wound up on the other side. And the people found him. They said, dude, where you been? We were looking for you. Where's that whole bread thing you did? He goes, why are you fighting for bread, man? You better get your head higher than that. It's about the bread that will give you salvation, not the bread that will make you live another day. And then he said this to them. Wilson will read it. It's John 6, 49, 51.
Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh.
Thank you. You can take that microphone back up here to Hector, who's in the front row. And you know, and here's the thing that he was saying to them about that. They're all Jewish people, so he went right to their history, right? He goes like, remember that manna that came out of heaven? You're like, yeah. Guess what? They ate that manna. Yeah. Guess what? They're all dead. See? That manna didn't make them live forever. He said, I'm the manna. He said, I am the bread that came out of heaven. So you see what's happening there? Jesus is getting them to major on the majors, not minor on the minors. He's pointing them to the need for salvation. We can't forget in the midst of all of our difficulties and all of our genuine needs that we have, and Jesus can help us with all of those things. And we say amen to that. But in the middle of all of our difficulties and in the middle of all of our needs, we cannot forget that the greatest need that we have is redemption. Being saved. Brother, what does it mean if you get fed today, tomorrow, and have a job for the rest of your life, and you got retirement, but you die and you go to hell? Jesus is saying, get your head out of that. I'm the bread of life. You eat from me. You eat my body. You drink my blood. And everybody's like, well, what the what? He says, these are spiritual words. I'm telling you, I am going to break my body, and it's going to be given for you to have eternal life. Hector, go ahead and just read that verse if you would.
I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you loved me.
He's calling for them to be, he's saying that to them at a communion meal. You know, it's Matthew and Luke that talk about him being at the Last Supper, and he says, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This cup that you drink, it is my blood that is shed for you. In the book of John, it does not mention him saying those words. The other gospel writers have that covered. It's called Harmony of Gospels. But only the book of John tells us something that took place at that Last Supper in the communion setting that no other gospel writer tells us. And it tells us some of the sermons that he's giving to them, some of the remarks that he's giving to them. I'm the vine, you're the branches, John 15. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, John chapter 16. And then in John chapter 17, you see the longest recorded prayer by Jesus Christ, where he says, keep them, my disciples. Don't take them out of the world. The world needs to have them here. And then he says, protect them, sanctify them by my word is truth. And then he ended with what Hector just read to us from John 17. Make them one, even as you and I are one, so that the world may know. Do you guys hear what Jesus is saying about the power of the unified testimony of Jesus Christ's believers? We are his disciples. In fact, Jesus said this. He says, I'm not praying it just for these guys. You read John 17. I'm not just praying it for these guys. I'm praying it for the people that will believe through these guys. And through the ones that hear through them. He was praying for us. How many of you know that Jesus Christ gets his prayers answered? Hello? And he was praying for us to have unity with one another. Why? Because the power of a unified people coming from diverse backgrounds is an argument you can't argue with. One of the things that most impresses the world is the way that Christians love each other, the way that Christians live together, the way that in harmony, the way that Christians share with one another. It is a witness to me as a pastor in this church when I have people that come to Southland that will tell me when they talk to me, man, it just felt like a family. It's because it is. But the fact of the matter is, if I could give a reality check to all of us here today, guess what? If it wasn't for Jesus Christ, most of us would not be hanging around with the rest of us. We're from Mars and the other groups from Venus. We're from different everything. But because of what Christ has done in us, the world can look and say, man, look at the diversity that's there. Look at the differences there, but yet look at the unity that is there. And that's what impresses the world today. Well, praise the Lord. Who's got my last? Ralph, you got a verse for me? Take it over to Ralph if you would. He's going to read a verse from Colossians chapter 3:11. We're going to get ourselves around the table here in this last 10 minutes.
Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony.
Take that microphone over to my friend Luke. He'll read one more verse with that. You see, we're all an unlikely group of disciples here, aren't we? Did you ever think about, just before Luke reads his verse, did you ever think about of the 12 disciples that Jesus had, that he had one guy that was named Matthew who was a tax collector, which means that he was a Jew under occupied Rome, who worked for Rome, who took extra money from his brothers, the Jews, so that he could make profit from his brothers. You got it? You feel it? Then he has another disciple who's named Simon, not Simon Peter, but Simon the Zealot, which many argue was part of a Jewish radical group whose goal was to undermine the Roman occupation. So you got this Matthew, the former tax collector, who was a poser in terms of whatever Simon the Zealot would think, and a underhanded guy against the Jews. And then you have this guy that used to work close with the Rome that would have thought the zealot meant we hate the zealots, and yet Jesus picked them and made them disciples. Guess what happened? The men got saved. Guess what happened? Everything fell to the ground. Guess what happened? They became men along with other disciples that turned the world upside down by preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Guess what? They were one. Their histories meant nothing. George Ayala and I could not be more different. But last Sunday morning, we had a brother that was here that was visiting the service, and I found myself tag-teaming with George, sharing the gospel with a guy that was different than him and I, especially me, and with one voice and one heart. And the guy was smiling from ear to ear. We're a family. We are unlikely companions. All of us are. And yet here we are together preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ.
For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Awesome. Jimmy, come on over here. You're going to help serve communion today. Just stand. I don't know if you've ever done it before. We're going to figure it out. Amen? You're going to stand right over here. Praise the Lord. Aramith, you stand on the other side. Let's make you serve communion. What do you think? Does that sound good? I don't know. How about Abel? Why don't you come forward, Abel? Serve communion. Who do you like, Lester?
Cody.
Who?
Cody.
Cody, come on up here. Serve communion. Praise the Lord. Eddie Alvarez, come on up here. Eddie's been saved for a few months. I love it. Let's have Rob Dominic come up here. Pick a side. Somebody get over there next to that poor girl on the left. I need to get another girl in here. Amen. I don't know. I don't want to tax Mayeli, you know. But Mayeli, you want to help? Would you help serve? Come on over here, stand on this other side here. Rob, stand over there with him. Praise the Lord. I'd pick a few of the others, but I don't know you don't get around so well. I'd love to have Anthony come on up here and serve if you would. Come on, Anthony. You know, Southland Christian Church, we're different ages. We're different classes. We have different economic background. We have different historical history. Southland Christian Church, we're cafe latte. We got some white people. We got some brown people. We have some Filipino people. Usually the Castros are with us, a whole bunch of them. We have Mexican. We have Salvadoran. We have Guatemalan. Shoot, I think Candy is two of those. When Hillary's here, she's Ecuadorian. I forget what you are, Lester.
Nicaraguan.
You're a who?
Nicaraguan.
Nicaragua. Thank you. I was missing one. I mean, there's a lot of Central American countries. I don't know what I am. I'm a mutt. I'm a white guy. But I don't know. They can't, huh? I'm a peace dude. You're that too? There you are. You don't know what you are? Here's what I tell you what we all are. We're all Christians. We're all Christians. Lester's going to come forward. Who's got that microphone right now? Lester, come forward. Lord, he's going to lead us in a prayer of reconciliation. We're going to share communion with each other. We're going to pray. We're going to be careful not to be Peter's. Amen? We're going to operate in the Spirit of Christ. And we're all going to share communion at the same table today. Go ahead.
Amen. We'll read one more verse. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 to 18. For he himself, this is talking about Jesus, for he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning after a long and hard week for our nation. Things are not good. And now more than ever, Father, we need you. And we need you to intervene. We are broken people. At the end of the day, this is the truth for all of us. We are broken people who are centered on ourselves and have walked away from you, and that is what is wrong with the world, as we have just said. We have strayed away from you. Each of us have gone our own way. We devalue each other, and we forget that all of us were made in the image of yourself. And instead, we treat each other so badly. This week has been proof of that. This week has been proof of how sinful and corrupted we have become, that we see each other by colors rather than the image bearers that we were all created by you. And Father, you are grieved, and we are sorry. We are sorry for how we are, for how we've become, for the things that we have done and the things that we also haven't done as your church, as your people. We are sinful, and we deserve your just wrath. But out of your great love for us, Father, you have intervened. You sent your Son to bring us back to you by paying the ultimate price. You forever got rid of all of our sin when you died on the cross, and you gave us new life when you resurrected. You have forgiven us now and forever only by your great grace and love. This morning, as we take communion, we want to remember everything. We want to remember how sinful and broken we are. We want to remember how far we have fallen. We also want to remember how far you went to save us. We want to remember your body that was broken for us, your blood that was spilled for us. We remember your death as you instructed, and we remember the price that you paid for us. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your sacrifice. Jesus, we thank you for what you did for us in the power of the Spirit, and we love you. We remember you this morning, and we thank you this morning. And as we remember this, help us to go out and be united in you. You have brought us to be united and together in you by your sacrifice and resurrection. Help us to come together. Create in us pure hearts, O Father, and give us a steadfast spirit so that we can live in the light of your gospel and give you glory together. We love you. Amen.
Cheers.